We are so excited to announce that we have opened the doors to our private membership community, The Symposium. Inside The Symposium, you have access to all of our free and paid content, daily prompts to pull to, live monthly workshops, reading room Zooms, and monthly virtual meetups. We also host monthly challenges and have a lively and engaged community, as well as tarot spread and resource libraries. The Symposium is an incredible community of like-minded folks who value the intersection of tarot, mental health, self-reflection, and personal growth. We're really excited to meet you all inside the symposium. So head over to thetarotdiagnosis.com and click Join the Symposium today to become a part of our community.
You're listening to The Tarot Diagnosis. We're your hosts. I'm Luna.
And I'm Shannon. We're both clinical psychotherapists who trained together at Johns Hopkins.
Now we are both in private practice in Tampa, Florida, and in Baltimore, Maryland.
We also both happen to have a love for tarot.
Each episode, we work to demystify the tarot and explore its connections to mental and emotional health.
While this podcast may feel therapeutic, it is not meant to take the place of psychotherapy.
Join us while we pull cards to better understand ourselves and those around us.
Hey, Luna.
Hey, Shannon.
Today we are talking about hustle culture.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's essentially this never-ending hamster wheel of unrealistic productivity is what I'm going to call it. And there's a pressure that we constantly feel to do more, to be more, and to have more.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I was thinking about this upstairs as I was folding my laundry and prepping at the same time because, right? I was thinking that this is actually a little unusual. It feels unusual for me because when we decide on a topic, you know, we have a list of topics, but we often decide like the day before or 2 days before. And I think that's just sort of part of the fun of this in the process. Like it feels like what should we be talking about right now rather than what's been planned. But often when we do this, we'll throw down a couple ideas and one or the other one of us will kind of say, we just sort of say to each other too close because it's something that's like, that's I'm not prepared to talk about it. It's too much going on in my life. And I think it's kind of hilarious that neither one of us said that because we both struggle with this so much.
Yeah.
Like, this is too close for both of us, but maybe that's going to make it more interesting.
I'm so glad you brought that up because, well, I mean, I guess I'll just share what happened to me recently based off of that introduction. So, you know, I'm recovering from COVID, you know, we get back from Boston and I test positive like the next day. I immediately get a hotel to isolate for a week. And, you know, while I'm there, I'm like, I know I need to be relaxing and letting my body heal and recover. And it was so difficult. Yeah. I mean, to just sit still and read a book or watch TV felt impossible. Mm-hmm. I had so much guilt. I was even in my head. This is when I knew it was a problem. I was in my head trying to justify me watching HGTV and Food Network by saying things like, well, I'll at least get ideas for designing the new house, or I'll learn some new meals to cook. And I was in my head trying to justify like why I was watching TV. And there were days where I was like so antsy. I was like, I need to be doing something, but I'm so tired and I feel terrible. I know I need to rest. And, you know, we were set to, you know, record. I got tested positive, went to the hotel on Tuesday. We usually record on Wednesdays. I was like, probably shouldn't record. I mean, I could, but I feel really bad. I mean, I even waited until like a few hours before some clients that I had scheduled. Yeah. I had messaged them. I was like, hey, listen, I have COVID. I'm feeling pretty bad right now. I might feel better though. So
I might feel better. It might be okay.
Right. It was holding out on this hope that I could somehow still meet these unrealistic levels of productivity that no one had set upon me except myself.
Right. Right.
It's so screwed up.
I mean, it's such a funny example too, because it's like an extreme, right? Like you are actually physically ill and, you know, like, and it's hilarious. Like, yeah, we didn't record Wednesday, but we did on Friday.
We did 2 days later. And if you've listened to the FOMO episode, I mean, you can still hear, I still sound kind of nasally now, but like you can tell I clearly still sounded like shit.
Yeah, I actually think you sound worse this week.
Oh no, really?
Well, I think that it's, I mean, I don't know how you're feeling. I think you're feeling a little bit better, but
I'm
like,
feeling a little
your voice sounds worse, which is, you know, it's okay. We love you anyway. No, it's like, it's kind of like a husky, sexy thing too, which is great.
But that might get worse. I don't know. We'll find
out. We're going to find out. I think it's such a good example, though. I mean, like, that's an extreme situation where you're having a hard time slowing down, to recognize how much of this is just a way of being that I don't think is unique to us, that I think is, like, culturally what is expected. It's kind of a big deal.
It is a big deal. And it's interesting that we're talking about this now. We talked about FOMO last week and, you know, we were throwing in themes of comparison, you know, as well. And, you know, in the symposium, you know, this whole month is about the exploration of depression versus burnout. Mm-hmm. And I think everything really just ties in together, everything that we've been talking about over the last few weeks. So it really just makes sense that we're kind of landing on this now, because I feel like talking about the idea of existing within hustle culture really ties into FOMO, or the fear of missing out, because I think we are driven to do and go, because there is this fear that we will miss something or we won't have something. So it all goes hand in hand.
It really does. And I think that depression and burnout, like, are right there with it. Before we get any farther, should we pull a card?
Yes. So what deck did you decide on?
Like, moments before we started recording, I was like, oh, I don't have a deck. I picked Tarot of the Abyss.
Oh.
Yeah. Which is
going deep and dark today.
I guess so. How about you?
Tarot Vintage. Sorry, folks. It's Tarot Vintage.
That's a good one.
I eyed Modern Witch because the three cards that, or three decks that I'm traveling with are Tarot Vintage, Modern Witch, and Hush Tarot. But I've just... I don't know. I feel so connected to Tarot Vintage. So I keep grabbing it.
I don't think that's a problem. I mean, like, I think you only, I mean, truth, we only need one deck.
Right. Exactly.
I mean, I only had one deck for a very long time.
Same. It was once I was gifted another deck. Oh, got some jumpers. That my collection started growing, but I hung out with one deck for years.
I mean, it's hilarious, actually. Like, one of the reasons why I think I have so many decks is because we have this Instagram account, which, like, totally speaks to this hustle culture thing of, like, I mean, right before.
I gotta keep up.
I mean, like, and you and I have, like, it's not, I was joking about it right before. It's not exactly a competition. Like, it doesn't feel like a competition, but there is, like, a little bit of a bar raising. Like, when you, make a reel that does really well, I'm like, I gotta up my game. Like, I gotta, like, and there is a little bit of FOMO there. There is a little bit about the comparison trap there. There is a little bit, and there's a lot about hustle culture in that too. And it's just so inherent now.
Yeah. I mean, I love what you're saying. And I feel it's funny. Everything you just said ties into the card I pulled, which is Judgment, which is, like, my least favorite card. So yay.
And one of my favorite cards.
Right. But it's so in alignment with this idea of, you know, hustle culture needs and feeds on this almost compulsion that a lot of us have to compare and compete, which is what you were just describing. So I'm not surprised that Judgment showed up. You know, I think there's a concept here, though, of there's a level of, I think, bragging that exists regarding our level of hustle or how busy we are. And we then compare and compete with the busyness of other folks or how much they're hustling. And I think as a society, we often aren't even allowed to tell other people that we might be relaxing because of fear of judgment. We're so not afraid to tell people we're busy. It'll be the first thing say, right? Yeah. Like, oh no, I'm so busy. I have this going on. I have this happening, or I need to do this, or I need to do that. And I don't know about you, but I know often, at least either in my family or in some of the circles that I used to belong to, or maybe even still belong to, if I do say, like, oh, I'm just chilling, I might get met with something like, oh, that must be nice. Which then fuels this, like, oh shit, now I feel bad. Like, I'm not supposed to be relaxing. I'm not supposed to just be chilling out. Like, I'm supposed to be doing something, which, I mean, we've just been conditioned to worship work at this point. Yeah. And if we're not worshiping work, we're scared of the ramifications of that. So yeah, very judgy.
I have like 12 things now. Okay. So first, personally, like I'm finding actually an interesting thing happening in my own life where I'm so busy is starting to become something I'm embarrassed about. And I'm not sure what that is or why, but it's kind of true. Like I'm trying to have lunch with somebody right now who's like, you know, an old friend, and we're like trying to have lunch. And I am honestly a little embarrassed by how much I'm like, no, I'm busy that. No, like, and I look at my calendar and I think they're just, this is like, I'm kind of ashamed of myself for how little time I have available because it just, I'm not proud. I'm not doing a humble brag here. Like it's starting to get to me. I don't know what's going to happen from that, but it is starting to get to me. I'm really drawn to this judgment card, as I'm sure you are not surprised. I'm like, ooh, you got judgment. Let's talk about that. One way that I talk a lot about this card is the idea of getting in alignment with your highest self, like with your highest state of being. But now that I'm putting it under this lens, I'm recognizing how, in a way, I'm bringing hustle culture into the card in that way. That there's sort of this expectation of like coming to self-actualization and coming into your highest state of being. And that's sort of the judgment. Whereas actually, like, that's not really what it's supposed to be about. It's supposed to be about not you sort of performing your best, but being in your best state, which I think, honestly, often has nothing to do with performing your best.
Oh, no. In fact, the like, the research shows it's quite the opposite. Yeah. I mean, constantly existing in this hustle culture and overworking and trying to meet these unrealistic productivity expectations actually sends us to an early grave.
Yeah.
You know, so which, you know, I guess if we're looking at this judgment card, you know, that's another layer here. Here are all these people in their floating around in their coffins. I mean, it's something that we forget. And I mean, I've read countless stories of people who are at the end of their life and they all say the same thing. I wish I would have worked less.
Yeah.
Not, I wish I would have done more. So I think this is an issue with our culture and our society too. Like, why are we feeling compelled to exist this way? And I think it's really interesting to hear you talk about that you're kind of experiencing this shift right now of discomfort when it comes to sharing how busy you are. And I wonder if there's maybe, hopefully, there's this quiet transformation, you know, within our communities of transitioning from that being what's expected or that being what's ideal to, you know, shifting the value to leisure time and time with people who are important to us, like having lunch with your friend. Hustle culture is so isolating. It often does the opposite of what we think it will do. It's, you know, we think it's going to give us this fun, exciting life, and we're going to have all these cool things and go on cool vacations at some point and, you know, have bottomless mimosas or whatever. but no, we don't. We're just like, you know, a slave to a computer.
Yeah. You know, this brings us to the card that I pulled, which is like, I was like, ugh, I'm not happy about this, but I sort of, I think it's important. I pulled Knight of Wands.
Oh.
And I think that that really speaks to how we think about hustle culture, that we think of it as this adventure, you know, it's just like, I'm going to get on my horse and I'm going to go to foreign lands and get bottomless mimosas. And like, you know, like, it, I think that we think of it as this great adventure, but knights, I'm starting to really like the knights. They're this really wonderful combination. I think it's probably because I have teenagers at home, this delightful combination of energy and excitement. And there's a certain naivete that comes along with it too. You know, this sort of like, yeah, you don't actually know what you're asking for here. And that's actually kind of fun in some ways, but culturally, it feels like we are stuck in a very adolescent mindset around the importance of the hustle. And it should happen. Like, there is a time to hustle for sure. I'm not bad mouthing it. Like, there have been times when I have hustled and I've like really enjoyed it. But when it becomes the only mode that I can do, I'm not growing.
You know, there's a theme here that we're talking about, and I keep kind of replaying the word choice in my head. So I think we're very much talking about existing in hustle culture as a choice that we are making. Mm-hmm. And you pulling Knight of Wands, right?
Yeah, Knight of Wands.
Is making me think about maybe the necessity that also exists in this, maybe growing up in a place where you have to hustle because you don't have a choice. Mm-hmm. It's literally a means of survival. You know, there are plenty of folks who I know who are, you know, quote unquote, living in the hustle culture life because they have 2-3 jobs, but they have 2-3 jobs because they don't have a choice. They have kids to feed, right, and bills to pay, and, you know, one job won't pay the rent. So I think that's a component here that is important to keep in mind too. But I think hustling or not hustling can also be a sign of privilege. I feel like it can be kind of confusing right now. And your Knight of Wands just like made me think of like a few different things. I'm trying to still make sense of it. But when you pulled Knight of Wands, I had a reaction of like, hold on, wait, I feel like there's a level of like responsibility within that card. Not necessarily like, oh, I'm charging forward because I want to, but because I feel like I have to. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's where I'm trying to go with it.
I mean, so you're bringing up an interesting question of, and I think it's worth trying to pick it apart a little bit, of how much of any person's hustle is a component of reality, a component of cultural demands, or a component of ego.
Yeah. Oh, I love that you bring up the idea of ego, because I think that's super prevalent, you know, within this that we don't often want to talk about, but it's because we often, it goes back to that comparison thing. Like we want to portray some sort of image. And I don't know about you, but I often struggle with that even within what we're doing. Mm-hmm. I know we've mentioned a little bit, like who the hell do we think we are starting a podcast? Right. Like, who wants to listen to us? Now we have this community, but like we try our best to make it so that it's this collaborative effort and that we're not just kind of like, you know, hustling and like on this, like on these stools, like, you know, above people, because like that feels disgusting. But I personally worry sometimes, like, how am I being perceived and am I contributing to this hustle culture? Yeah. I mean, I'll never forget, I had made a gift for a friend, actually someone that, you know, I'd met through this awesome tarot community online, and we each had kind of posted a picture of it, and someone had reached out to me and was like, oh my God, how are you finding the time now to also make, you know, this art? And I was like, oh no, this is like a one-time thing. Like we made stuff for each other. Like I don't also like sell art on the side, but you know, that really stuck with me because I was like, holy shit, like what image am I putting out? Like,
yeah.
I want to make sure that the content we're creating and what we're doing is, you know, helping people. I definitely don't want people to listen to us or watch us or join the community and think, oh my God, like they're just going. How are they doing that? I need to do that. Or you know what I mean?
I do. I mean, like I struggle with that too. And like, you know, like I don't, like, I think I've mentioned, like, I don't tell my clients that I have this podcast, and partially it's because like, there's for many reasons for why I don't. Therapeutically, I don't think that it's like the right thing to do, but I have to acknowledge it partially is because like, I don't like that image. Like I'm trying to step mm-hmm. away from that image of, you know, like, wow, she just does all the things, you know, like,
right.
Cause I think it's super unhealthy to think mm-hmm. like, I mean, like here's the honest to God truth. My house is disgusting. Like it's really like, I've got a problem. And like, I don't do a good job of feeding myself or my family. Like, thank God other people in my family have started like picking up on that, being like, let's all, you know, now there's more of a collaborative effort, but to think I have everything together because like, wow, she's got her own practice. And like, it's just, it's a false right. image. And I think right. that's important to say. There was something you yes. said a minute ago that I'm trying to like look back to in my head. And I was trying to find like the right card for it. I almost want to go to like 7 of Pentacles.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I have something I could say about that. Yes, please go there.
I kind of think that one of the things that at least I experience in hustle culture is exactly what I just said, that I tend to get distracted by the hustle that I think sounds cool or is like, I don't know, like personally interesting. Like I chase mm-hmm. ideas. That's what I do all day long. I'm like chasing ideas. Like what idea can I play with right now? And I really don't like the realities of the hustle of keeping a good life. And right. we've forgotten about that. You know, it's easy to scroll Pinterest and see or like Instagram and look at all the pretty pictures of all the pretty houses. Do you realize how much time it takes to clean that room? And I don't want to do that hustle. I want to do the hustle where I get to like post on Instagram and have a conversation with you and book a new client. Like that's a fun hustle. But I'm really resistant to the hustle of watering my garden. I planted mm-hmm. the garden because I thought it would look good on Instagram or whatever. But like, do I water it? No, because it's the work of day-to-day life that has gotten lost in our hustle culture.
Oh, I love what you're saying, because what you're really referring to is being outcome oriented mm-hmm. and only focusing on the end result and not enjoying the process. And I think that's so inherent within hustle culture is us wanting to get to that end goal. Like one of the cards I had pulled before we started was Queen of Pentacles. And I think we all want, I mean, at least for me, like Queen of Pentacles is like my ultimate, you know, goal. Like we all want to be Queen of Pentacles or have that level of energy. And I think that, or, you know, and exude that for others. And I think for many of us, at least for me, that's where like hustle, that's where I exist in hustle culture is like, oh, I'm trying to get to this and I want to get to this. But there really is like no end in sight when you're on that hamster wheel. Like, there is no, oh, finally you reach this destination, because no matter what, there's always something else that's going to be better that you feel like you're going to need to do. And it just never ends. And so going back to your Seven of Pentacles, something I had started doing and I still do for myself, and I encourage my clients to do as well, is take a step back every so often and just look at what you've already grown. What have you already done before you start looking behind you or forward or whatever to plant those other two pentacles, and just acknowledge and show gratitude and congratulate yourself. Because I think when we're in hustle culture too, we're just like running, like very Eight of Wands. Mm-hmm. And we don't stop to see where we've come from. And when we don't stop to see where we come from, we can't appreciate anything. So that makes hustle culture meaningless in the end anyway.
Yes.
Because
yeah, that's right.
Yeah. What are we gaining?
Yeah. You know, I'm really stuck on this Seven of Pentacles, because when I look at it, I'm thinking what everything you just said, by the way, is super brilliant. Like that's exactly right. And I think that if we go in line, Seven of Pentacles, Eight of Pentacles, Nine of Pentacles, mm-hmm. right? I think me personally and culturally, we have sort of misinterpreted sort of the way this works. We think, okay, get into hustle culture, build your side business, you know, like mm-hmm. do all the shiny things, then you're going to end up as Nine of Pentacles. Like stop doing the boring job, follow your bliss, get mastery in Eight of Pentacles, and then you're going to get to Nine of Pentacles. I think that maybe that's wrong. I think that maybe it's stop not doing the work that you need to do and seeking out more shiny, exciting, follow your bliss work. Mm-hmm. Get really dedicated to doing the hard, boring stuff and doing it very well. And it ends up as Nine of Pentacles internally rather than externally.
Yeah, I almost want to, I'm holding on to, because if we were in session right now, I would have held on to that line you said of like the boring work and been like, what's boring about it? Let's go there. Why is this boring? Why do you like, why is this other thing more exciting? And I think that's an area where some really good work can be done, you know, is okay. What makes keeping the house boring, or what makes watering the garden boring? And doing your side hustle not, you know, I think there's
right.
an issue with our thinking. You are fantasizing about something that could be when you are doing your side hustle. But when you are thinking about watering the garden or cleaning the house or cooking dinner, you're thinking about what you don't want, or something that feels, I don't know, too much something. And so trying to reframe your thoughts around those tasks is going to be important, because I think one is realistic and one is not.
Well, and that's where I think that we get into the concept of ego and we get into the concept of culture. I think that we have made a cultural shift to say that what's cool, or not even cool, what counts. That's like a phrase that I use, yes. Right? Like, do you say to clients, like, what would count, and what counts sort of like living a good life is building something, following your bliss. And I'm not saying that those are bad things, like hardly, like those are great things. I don't know if you feel this or not, but I feel like it's almost embarrassing to spend time. Yeah, this might just be a me problem. I feel like it's almost a waste of time, or that I'm doing something that's like untrue to myself, or I'm not sort of living up to my potential if I spend time dusting, or if I spend time, you know, like that I'm supposed to go out and be like, I do feel like this might be a part of sort of being a woman raised in the 80s and sort of getting a lot of like, go and like have a career. And like, it was just like such the mantra, go and have the career, go and have the career. And I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying like, that was very much where my focus was. And there was a little bit of not quite shaming, but almost shaming around like housework. And housework actually is like, that's where I live.
Yeah, right? Yeah. This is interesting. So everything you're saying, I have some thoughts. I'm trying to make sense of them. I think what you're describing is going back to how you had called it boring. I think it's expected. Everyone has to clean. Everyone has to do dishes. Everyone has to do laundry. There isn't necessarily anything that makes us stand out with that. Like, we can't, who's going to post that on Instagram? Did my laundry today? You know, so that we keep going back to Instagram. So this is very much also an issue with social media. And, you know, we don't talk about this enough, but everyone, whether you realize it or not, whether you are trying to do this or not, if you have a public profile and you are posting stuff, you have a brand. You are your brand. And now you get to decide how you're presenting that brand to the world. And so it's not exciting to see that you folded your towels and put them away, or that you, you know, cooked dinner. People often want to show like, oh, look at this. You know, we see it all the time when we're scrolling through Pinterest, like start your 6-figure side hustle, 20 things that you can do to make more money, make $10,000 this month. And it's like gambling when you go to a casino, right? It's like all these like flashy things, and you could win this and you could do that. And, you know, just give me this and just give me that. It's all of the like what could be in this exciting thing that maybe other people aren't doing. So, oh, this is so fascinating right now, because we talk so much about being communal and tribal and like needing to be, you know, among people in order to help each other out. But I think that there's this inherent desire to stand out. And I think that's what hustle culture offers us, to help us stand out among the crowd.
Oh my God, you're so right. All right, I'm going to go back to the pentacle trio that I have, because I think that this is what it comes down to, is that somehow we've gotten in our heads that if I do like the fun side hustle or the standout side hustle where I sort of, you know, like start my own company, blah, 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 then I'm going to end up 9 of Pentacles. But you know what's easier is 9 of Pentacles is having towels that are clean, dried, and folded and put away. That actually, that you're living a luxurious life if you are tending to your life. And instead we think, I will live a luxurious life if I go out, brand myself, create something out in the world, so that then I guess I can hire people to fold my towels. Like, we could actually like make it a lot easier. Like, fold your towels.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much here, and it really boils down to like this simple question: what is it that you're trying to accomplish?
Yeah.
As simple as that question is, it really isn't, because I think that if you are someone who's caught in this trap and we asked you that, you would probably sit back and say, shit, I don't know.
Oh my God. You know, and I just looked down at the tens, which I've been thinking about a lot, right? What is it that you're trying to accomplish? What we're trying to accomplish is 10 of Pentacles or 10 of Cups. Mm-hmm. We want that. Yeah. But how many of us actually end up in a 10 of Swords or 10 of Wands? Because we're misguided in our thinking or on our adventure, that we didn't quite do it the right way because, I don't know, because we thought something different.
I like that you brought the tens out. I think this is important because, you know, we think about our life and this hustle culture in terms of like some big grand outcome.
Yeah.
And we forget that we can have these 10 moments, you know, these sweet 10 of Cups moments or 10 of Pentacles moments.
That's right.
Every day throughout the day, it could be, you know, something that's been really interesting that I've been staying with my best friend for the last, you know, month while we're in this transition is making an effort to cook dinner for everyone every night. Yeah. And it's, you know, sometimes it's been stressful. It's like, oh, we did, you know, chicken and veggies and all this stuff last night. Like, we're just throwing hot dogs on the grill tonight. We're making it easy. But then we're sitting at the table and it's like, oh, this feels good. This had nothing to do with hustle culture other than I want to take care of you because you're taking care of me. And I'm really enjoying the time with you and I love you. And this feels really good. And we don't pay enough attention to those small moments. They're often way more meaningful than spending hours on social media trying to get people to like our posts.
Oh, I mean, it's getting really, really complicated. And like, it's funny how like the more we get into it, the more complicated it starts to feel for me.
Yeah.
You know, because I think that like, I do want to go back to Knight of Wands for a second. Because I think that there's yes and also there's something great about the hustle. And also how many people turn their hustle into this? How many people turn their hustle into like, I need to have the right dinner on the table or I need to have, and then they turn it into, and now I'm going to like Instagram about it and blog about it. So like, and so like it collapses on itself again. I split the deck a while ago and I pulled the Tower and I feel like that's a very appropriate card here for that place of, boy, it all just came crashing down. And how much at any given moment we're building these fake houses. I do enjoy Tarot of Abyss because the Tower, I talked about it on the podcast before, it's this very like almost playful looking house that like almost looks like a playhouse that is stuck on a tree branch and it's like starting to collapse. And there's something to me that reminds me of this idea of I built this house on sand, you know, like this tower that I thought was so secure was just an illusion. I was just playing and it can come crashing down at any given moment. So what's important? And often most of us, including me, has it wrong and I'm not clear on what's actually important.
Oh, I like where this is going. Well, I think so many of us aren't clear on what's actually important because we're constantly being told what we think should be important. And we're not encouraged to spend enough time with our own values and our own internal needs and really evaluating where our life is right now to figure out, okay, what do I need over here? What do I need over there? What would make me feel accomplished in my home life today? What would make me feel accomplished in my social life today? What would make me feel fulfilled in my work life today? And making sure that the answer to those questions are, you know, realistic, attainable, sustainable. Right. You know, I go back to, you know, we did, I think a couple months ago, we did a workshop and symposium on motivation and goals. And, you know, it's so easy for us to want that big grand, you know, oh, I want, you know, this big side hustle to turn into my main gig. And we lose sight of all the small things that we've been talking about so far that could still make us feel good. But we're neglecting because we're chasing something that probably doesn't exist.
You know, and here's the cautionary moment, right? Of I actually took a picture the other day, like I just opened it up like a screenshot from Instagram as I was scrolling. And it was like a chart that somebody had come up with that was like, how do you like live your best life? And I'm looking at it and, you know, like see how quickly this turns into another type of hustle. Now I have these categories in my life. Every day I need to do something physical, something creative, and something productive, like, which is a great idea, by the way. Like, I really like that model. But we're just so used to, how do I maximize this? How do I okay, how am I going to get the most out of, like, increasing the productivity or the accomplishment in this one area of my life of, like, family quality time or physical well-being? And I mean, like, now we're back in it. You missed it again.
Oh, you're so right. It's so easy to fall into the trap. Yeah. And it's something that I kept replaying in my head just now, though, is something that you often remind us both, because, you know, we can get stuck in this all the time with, you know, we started this podcast, we have this, you know, private membership community, we have this Instagram. And when you and I get together, like, our brains are just like, idea factories. And it's so exciting.
It's so fun.
And actually,
it's so fun.
We could be, it's fun, but we have to keep ourselves, you know, we have to check ourselves and say, hold on, are we doing too much? Like, this, you know, we need to slow down a little bit. But there's something that you often remind me of, and it's, as long as we have helped one person, like, we've done good. And I think I say that to myself all the time, like, you know, we're so lucky. We get emails pretty regularly from folks. Like, we got one recently who someone was like, you know, I just listened to your episode on synchronicity and it was so powerful. I pulled over and weeped. And I was just like, oh my God, like, what?
Yeah.
What? How is that possible? Like, so just to know that what we're doing has helped even just one person in one area. So it's like, it's breaking things down into smaller bits so that you don't burn yourself out, because that's really what this is.
Yeah.
Is, and we're talking about burnout this month in the symposium. So it's like, how do I make sure that I don't burn out to the point where now I'm useless to myself and everyone around me? Because that's really what is happening in existing in hustle culture.
God, you know, but, like, yes, and I'm going to, like, layer this. Like, everything you just said is so true. And, oh my God, this is hard. Like, I didn't realize how hard this was going to be. This one's really, really hard, because then I'm off to the races again. Okay. Mm-hmm. How can I help somebody? Okay.
Right.
What is the best way that I can help somebody? I mean, and figuring out that I really land on that. What is the point? What am I trying to do? Oh, it just worked.
Right.
I'm so excited. I split the deck. I was thinking, okay, like, what's the resolution for this? Like, what's the answer for this? And I split the deck and I got, like, freaking Ace of Wands. And I was like, that is not the card I want. Like, that's
funny.
Definitely not the card I want, but maybe it's the card that I need, because maybe the answer is that it is a new adventure, but it's an adventure that's not about the adventure. Maybe this is about finding a new way of being, which, honestly, this is something I've been really working on in my personal life, like, really trying to be like, what actually is important? Where do I actually want to be putting my focus? Where do I want to be spending time in my own mind? And, like, what's the goal? Like, what is ultimately the goal? And being willing to almost rewrite the entire script, which, by the way, not easy.
Yeah. Or being okay with editing. You know, I think that's something, not even necessarily rewriting. It's okay to cross things out and say, oh, actually, this isn't important anymore.
Yeah.
Or actually, I've realized that I was valuing this thing for reasons that were unhealthy. So I cut the deck too, because I figured I haven't really talked about too many cards, because it was so funny when we opened this episode before we recorded. I was like, I don't know if we're going to have a lot to say. And then, of course, we get going and it's just like, oh my God. And what about this and this? So I cut the deck and I think I got maybe the card that you wanted, and I got Four of Wands, and which definitely makes sense. And I think this is about, you know, like, really in alignment with what I've just been saying, learn how to celebrate the smaller moments. But I want to, I appreciate how real you're being throughout this episode. And I want to also just share that I am feeling slightly hypocritical. And I want to be real too. Like, as I'm saying everything that I'm saying, it's everything that I know to be true about hustle culture. So I'm reacting and having a conversation with you from a point of logic and reason based on my education and my clinical experience. But this is hard to put into practice because personally, in my own life, aside outside of being a therapist, outside of having this podcast, there is something within me that constantly feels like I have to prove something to myself or others, or I have to create something that proves that my existence was meaningful and that I wasn't here for nothing.
Right.
And I think that is something that also exists on a deeper level in hustle culture that we can't ignore.
No, I mean, that was brave of you. thank you for saying that. No, really, that was brave of you. I think we have to be honest about it. Like what this struggle looks like, this is hard for us. And this is like, you know, what therapists do. Sometimes people will talk about things that are triggering for us or like bring up our own. It's like, yeah, me too. And we can sort of step back and talk about it logically and reasonably, but still struggle with it ourselves. The card that I'm landing on, I mean, this is really, I think that I agreed to this topic, even though it's too close, because I am really actually working on it. I didn't realize until like I'm actually really, really working on this. The card that's coming forward to me is actually Four of Cups. Because and I think that I haven't worked this out entirely, but for me, I think that my hustle culture is sitting here under this tree looking at these three cups, being like, well, there's this cup, and there's this cup, and there's this cup. And maybe if I pour like a little bit from this cup into this cup, like, like I think that that's sort of what I'm doing. And then there is this fourth cup that is hanging here in the air that I refuse to look at. And I'm not exactly sure what that fourth cup has to offer, but I think I'm missing something. And I need to spend some time with what could be in that fourth cup. What is actually important? What do I want to feel when I die? And I agree with you that this goes through stages. I am proud of what I have done in my life. I am proud of accomplishments. I am proud of obstacles overcome. I'm proud of some of the work I've done. I really am. And I am pleased when some of the work that I do does good in the world. Like nothing actually makes me happier than knowing, like truly, I know that that sounds very, very cliche, but like it is interesting and a blessing to be in that place in my life where I can actually see that and say that, like, it is incredibly fulfilling to know that I did something that was helpful to another person. But I think that that's all still in the hustle culture. It's proving myself. And the real anecdote that we have not figured out to hustle culture is what's in that fourth cup.
Interesting. What's in that fourth cup? I guess it's a question that we all have to answer for ourselves. Thank you so much for listening to The Tarot Diagnosis. You can follow us on Instagram and TikTok under the handle @TheTarotDiagnosis and join us while we pull daily cards and explore tarot and mental health in between podcast episodes. You can also subscribe to our podcast to make sure that you never miss an episode. If you have a topic or question that you'd like for us to explore on the podcast, you can contact us directly on our website, www.thetarotdiagnosis.com.